So, as I said at the beginning of Mass, it's the feast of Saint Scholastica. I hope we, you know, I know it's hard sometimes at the beginning when the priest says, let us pray. It's like everyone's like, oh, I don't have to pay attention, right? I'm good, right? And so it's hard to listen to the collect prayer. But I know that. The only reason I pay attention to them is because I have to say them, right? But this one's good. So let me start tonight with just a reiteration of the prayer that you just heard. As we celebrate anew the memorial of the Virgin Saint Scholastica, we pray, O Lord, that following her example, we may serve you with pure love and happily receive what comes from loving you. This gospel, we hear about the problem of the human heart, everything that comes from within when our hearts go awry, right? Jesus says, from within the man, from his heart come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. Well, that's what happens when our hearts go wrong. But there is a pure love that can come from a pure heart that happily receives what God gives. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to take our hearts, especially the areas that are not pure, that have gone awry, that have given themselves over to evil, and he wants to heal all of it, to bring it back to what it ought to be, because his heart is a pure heart, and our hearts are meant to be pure like his. Saint Scholastica lived that, and the great thing is it's it's the furthest thing from boring to live with a pure heart. We tend to buy into the lie that God is somehow going to keep us from fullness of life, that he is the big restrictor, the cosmic killjoy, that he takes away our life, he takes away what makes things like thrilling in life, and you know, really, like, you know, we don't want to be a part of that because we want to live. And so we hand ourselves over to sins. And what we find is it's exactly the opposite. That what first appears like freedom, what first appears like really living, and you all know this because you're in college and all the temptations are there for you, is actually the opposite. It's not freedom and it's not living. It's slavery and it's a death. It's a spiritual death. And anyone who's honest with themselves in any way, shape, or form recognizes that truth. Well, God came to save us from that. And not just to save us from our sins, but to open up the fullness of life. And that happens as our hearts are healed. Saint Scholastica, she was a contemplative, right? But there's a great story, and it's recounted by Saint Gregory the Great, who's talking about two saints, Saint Benedict and Saint Scholastica. So every year on the feast of Saint Scholastica, all priests and deacons and anyone else who prays the breviary reads this great story. And I'll just tell you briefly because I love it. I think it's hilarious and I think it's really true and beautiful. So Saint Scholastica, she was a contemplative, so she lived in convent, and her brother, Saint Benedict, is the founder of Western monasticism. We're in the 6th century, so 1500 years ago. And Benedict, you know, he's very disciplined. He writes the Rule of Saint Benedict, right? It's the rule that allows really Western civilization to be preserved as civilization collapses and learning and all those things fall apart. It's preserved through the Benedictine monasteries. And he's the one who wrote the rule and allowed everything to be preserved so that it could come forward and we'd have Christian Europe, right? And the evangelization of America and everything else. It's all connected to him, right? So once a year, it's his twin, once a year they could visit. And what Benedict would do is he would leave the monastery but stay on the monastery's property, and he would meet her just outside the gate. And she'd come from the convent and they'd spend an evening together. And then, as the rule required, they would split and Benedict would go back and she would go back and they wouldn't see each other for a whole nother year, okay? Well, Scholastica knew she was gonna die, but she didn't look like she was gonna die. So she comes and she says to Benedict as they're meeting outside, their once a year meeting, she says, when it's time to depart, she says, stay. Let's keep talking about the spiritual life. And he's like, I can't stay. There's no way I could stay. I have to go back. It's what the rule said. I wrote the rule. I have to be a good example. And then she just quietly folds her hands, bows her head, and prays. And out of nowhere, a giant storm arises. Lightning, thunder, rain, and wind. And Benedict looks at his sister and goes, sister, what have you done? She said, well, I asked you and you wouldn't listen. So I asked Jesus and he did. So go, leave if you can. And he's like, I can't leave. So they stay up the whole night and they talk about the things of heaven and the truth of the spiritual life, right? In the morning, they depart, right? 5 days later, she dies. Benedict has a vision of her soul leaving, flying to heaven, right? And he prays God that they had that time together. Now, I love that story because it shows the power of a pure heart. St. Gregory, it's always fun to read a saint writing about other saints, said, it's not surprising that she was more effective than he. Since God is love, it is absolutely right that she could do more because she loved more. That's the power of a pure heart. The purity that God wants to bring to our hearts, which heals us, allows us to do great things for him. Not just to live free from sin, but to actually do great things for him. See, that's the point. We so often think being a good Christian is just avoiding sin. First half of the equation, and definitely not the most interesting half of the equation. Jesus came to share life with us. He needed to take our sins because sin was robbing us of life. But the reason he came wasn't just to take our sins away. It was to give us life, his life, the divine life, which is nothing other than love, and not just any type of love, but a pure love that accomplishes great things. And that's what Jesus wants for us. That's what he wants for you. He wants you to accomplish great things. Not to live an insignificant life, but to live a great life. Now, it's not going to look like the great things and the great lives that are noticed by the world. But who cares about that ultimately? We're meant to live great lives in the eyes of God. To do things that matter for all eternity. Not just for the passing glory of this life, but for all eternity. He gives us his love. Saint Scholastica received it. Received it as the gift. And it changed her heart so that she could love with a pure love that was actually his love. And then, as the opening prayer of Mass said, she could happily receive what God gave her. Well, friends, I know our hearts aren't all pure. I know mine isn't. Right? They're not all free. But that's exactly why we're here to pray. That's exactly why we come to Mass. To give our hearts to Jesus and say, Lord, your love can heal. And your heart and my heart are meant to be together. So I'm going to trust you with my heart as it is. Give him your heart. Right? Then all the things that Jesus mentions in the gospel, all those hard things that we know are present in our hearts, they all get washed away. By the gift of his grace, our hearts get transformed, and we start to look more like him and more like Saint Scholastica. So fall in love with the Lord, but more importantly, let him love you.